Father, we do come before you, and God, you are an awesome God. You are our great provider, Lord. You take care of us, God. Lord, even in times that we don't deserve it, you are there for us, and we thank you for that, and we love you, Lord. And Father, with that in mind, I ask for your blessing, your anointing on the teaching here as we get close to wrapping up the book of Revelation. God, I ask for your blessing and that you would teach us the things that you would have us to know so that we can turn around and take these very things and watch what's happening in our country and the world and be able to talk to others about it, to take as many with us to heaven as we can. I've mentioned it lately a lot, but 99% of the church in the last 2,000 years is already with you, Father. We're the remnant. We're the last of the last. And when that trumpet blows, the remnant will be taken. And then your judgment will fall on a God-rejecting world. So, Father, help us to be ready, Lord. Bless, anoint your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, the judgment of the great harlot. Here in chapter 17, we do have some symbolism. God is going to deal with the apostate religion, which, again, is not the true church and bride of Jesus Christ. God would never allow the bride of Christ to go through his judgment, especially when it's the groom, Jesus, who is doing this judgment. We studied about the church of Thyatira in chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. They allowed Jezebel to teach. This is the church that will become the apostate religion of the Great Tribulation period. The reason why it's called Mystery Babylon is because of its origin. It all began at the Tower of Babel when man attempted to come against God under Nimrod. Babylon became the origin of all false religion. What Nimrod attempted to do is seen in the first half of the tribulation. This is the harlot who will dominate the beast. The apostate religion will be guilty of spiritual fornication. It will sell herself to the world for hire. In our study of the seven churches, chapters 2 to 3, we looked at the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia represents a church that will be raptured before the time of the great tribulation. Jesus said to that church, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That hour of trial is speaking of the great tribulation period. I told you in the beginning I was going to keep reminding you every time we studied. And I'm reminding you again here at the end of the Great Tribulation. Someone said something, and it was very scary to me. They said some churches will meet the Sunday after the rapture and won't be missing a member. Dwight Pentecost, in his book, Things to Come, he says concerning the harlot system, the beast who was dominated by the harlot system in Revelation 17, verse 3, rises against her and destroys her and her system completely. Without doubt, the harlot system was in competition with the religious worship of the beast, promoted by the false prophet, and her destruction is brought about so that the beast may be the sole object of false worship as he claims to be God. I've had Dwight Pentecost out a couple of times at my church. He was out in 2004. He was 93 years old and still speaking at Dallas Seminary. And I've got his book. It's 3 inches thick, the book on things to come about these last days. Very, very good stuff. Let's go ahead and begin with verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her head, her forehead, a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will descend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are the one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, The waters which you saw, which a harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. It's amazing all these things that we see happening during this time period. It's going to be horrific. So let's look at this text that we just talked about. The great harlot is speaking of those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. It means they were never a part of the body of Christ. This is the harlot system, who sits on many waters. The waters, according to verse 15, refer to the peoples and nations. It means the harlot will control the entire world, one world religion. The kings of the earth committed fornication. What is that talking about? It's speaking of an unholy alliance between this religion, the harlot system, and the state at this time. What's surprising to me, we've been watching a movement in our day of bringing all the religions together. I mean, it literally falls into the pattern of this false religion that will appear during the seven-year time period. It was only about 3 years ago when I saw the picture of the Pope with all these different religions. Even a Satanist high priest was there, and they were all holding hands and praying. And I'm thinking, who are they praying to? Amazing. Setting up for this time that we're entering in. You see, here's the bottom line. When you reject the genuine, you then become wide open for the false. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, Paul spoke of that. Even though God's cup of judgment falls on the harlot, the beast himself is the one who will destroy her. The Antichrist and the false prophet will not want her around after she has served their purpose. At this point, the door is open for the Antichrist to be worshipped as God. something Satan has always wanted. I believe the wilderness mentioned here is literal. I don't believe it's symbolic. But it's also a sign of the chaotic condition brought about by the religious confusion of Babylon. In verse 18, we're told who the woman is. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The woman is a city, not a country, a city. And that city is Rome, the religious capital of the world. Rome will at this time have inherited all the religions of the world. I mean, this is what's interesting. Think about this. Rome is a city set on seven hills. Pagans and Christian writers knew this. Horace wrote, "The gods who look with favor on the seven hills." Ovid wrote, "But Rome looks around on the whole globe from her seven mountains, the seat of empire and abode of the gods." Augustine wrote, "Babylon is a former Rome, and Rome is a later Babylon." The woman who is the harlot represents a religious system that will be revealed during the first part of the Great Tribulation. That means the true, genuine church has to be gone before this new system can be revealed. This religious system dominates and rides the Roman Empire at the beginning of the tribulation. The saying full of names of blasphemy, it reveals how far religion will have gone from the living Christ. How far it's gone. Purple was a predominant color of Roman imperialism. Every senator and consul wore a purple stripe as a badge of his position. The emperor's robes were also of purple. Adorned with gold speaks of the outward display, but like the Pharisees, within is full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Precious stones and pearls speak of an imitation of genuine religion. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 25? He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, and inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Jesus said that seven times. Seven is a number of completion. A golden cup full of abominations is speaking of the religious intoxication of the anti-church and a counterfeit Christianity with a false gospel. This is the cup that will make the world drunk. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. And on her forehead a name was written. This is a revelation of the character of this woman, and it's a disgraceful title. The anti-church designated here as a harlot is a mystery in that it wasn't revealed, think about it, until the Apostle John was given Revelation chapter 17. The anti-church is the opposite of the true church. It's Mystery Babylon. It's given this name just as Jerusalem is called Sodom. Babylon is the beginning for false religion. She's the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Not only does the harlot make others drunk, she's intoxicated by her acts of persecution. You know, I totally get it. I totally get it. As we near the end of the age of grace, we've got to be moments away. How many people are looking for Christ to come? People laugh at you when you tell them Jesus could come at any moment. All hell is getting ready to break loose, known as the 7 year. They laugh at you. It'll be increasingly hard to make a stand for God's word and the things of Christ in these final moments that we are living in. I see Christians getting caught up into other things in the name of Christ. Heartfelt ministry is now a job. It's no longer a sacrifice. It breaks my heart after working side by side with Christians for years who were on fire for the Lord, totally excited about God and His work, to see them now more excited about doing their own thing, more excited about living for themselves. They're always going somewhere and doing something. Not that that's wrong, but they're putting a priority over God and the spiritual things in this life. You see, this is what happens when you get away from a true study of God's word. The saints, most likely refer to Old Testament saints. The martyrs of Jesus refer to the New Testament saints. It's amazing when you study scripture, you realize that Babylon in the Old Testament persecuted God's people and was God's enemy. It was Babylon that put the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't worship an image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. When John saw this woman, it says he marveled with great amazement. I mean, it blew John totally out of the water, blew his mind to see how far people had fallen from God's word and from sound biblical doctrine. The beast speaks of the past history of the Roman Empire. The words "is not" refers to the present condition of the torn apart Roman Empire. You see, today, the Roman Empire is not dead. It fell apart into the nations of Europe, but it's still there and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. It speaks of the reactivation of the Roman Empire by Satan. The beast will be the one who puts the Roman Empire back together. This political leader, soon to come on the scene in Europe and make a peace treaty with many, as it says in the book of Daniel, for 7 years. It's all before us. And to go to perdition speaks of the destruction of the Roman Empire when Jesus comes back at his second coming. Some take them to mean individual rulers, these seven kings. There's different schools of thoughts on them. Other expositors consider these seven as the different forms of government through which Rome passed, such as kings, councils, dictators, military tribunes. But the scripture is clear. These are rulers. One refers to the sixth imperial form of government set up by Julius Caesar, under which John was banished by Domitian to the island of Patmos, where he was given the book of Revelation, the book of unveiling, the book of Jesus Christ. The seventh and last, though it has not yet appeared, will be satanic in form, and the end is Antichrist ruling over the revised Roman Empire. The beast signifies the Roman Empire, but here it also signifies the last of, or eighth head, the emperor who is Antichrist. The Antichrist is a little horn in the vision God gave to Daniel. The little horn puts down three other kings when he comes to power. We see that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 24. The beast that was refers to the past history of the Roman Empire under the emperors, and is not refers to the end of the imperial Rome with its global empire. It came to an end sometime between the 3rd and 5th centuries. Is himself also the 8th and is of the 7, identifies the Antichrist with the return to the imperial form of the restored Roman Empire. The 10 horns are the 10 horns of Daniel 7. These 10 kings will reign with the Antichrist and willingly or unwillingly give their authority to the Antichrist and become his puppets. At first, the Antichrist is willing to share his place with the harlot, that apostate religion that will be here during the 7 years, because she tried to advance his cause while dividing his glory. But the Antichrist hates this. So not only does he break his covenant with Israel, he also breaks his relationship with this apostate religion. The hatred against the apostate religion is so violent. The reaction is described as eating her flesh and burning her with fire. Once the Antichrist destroys his false religion, he'll then set up the worship of himself brought about by the false prophet. This will usher in the darkest period for religion in man's history, the darkest hour ever known, and yet its inevitable end of the distrust which began in the Garden of Eden when man failed to believe and trust God. That distrust was brought to new heights at the Tower of Babel, which was a rallying place for those who were against God. Finally, it climaxed in the crucifixion of Jesus when man rejected the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Having rejected the truth, the only alternative for man is to believe the big lie, the strong delusion, and die the death physically and spiritually. Next time we're going to look at Revelation 18, Babylon, the world system of the beast as it comes to an end. Father, we thank you for your word. A very lot here for us to try to take in, Lord. But as we continue to study through the book of Revelation, we see the picture here of what's going on just before we come back with Christ at his second coming to set up the thousand-year millennium in Revelation chapter 19. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us understanding in these things so that we may know them, so that we have an answer to give to others of the reason of the hope that lies within us in the final moments of this age of grace, the period of the church. God, we love you and we thank you, Lord. And we commit this into your hands, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.